You are listening to the podcasting network Teej, which is run out of Charlottesville, Virginia at UVA. Tune in at teej.fm for more. Hello. So, as you know, my name is Maddie McLennan, or I guess as some of you may know, my name is Maddie McLennan, and I am a third year at the University of Virginia, and I am a pre-med student who is studying anthropology. Hopefully then we'll be going to medical school. But so the reason that I am doing this podcast is because as a pre-med student, I feel like we don't have very much exposure to the hospital or to what exactly we will be doing as doctors or as PAs or as nurses or as whatever. As just an undergrad getting an undergrad degree in something that's not geared towards the sciences, they don't really have that many opportunities for you. You can shadow and stuff, but I feel like that can be really hard, and a lot of professors don't, or a lot of doctors don't really have time for you. So I started this podcast so that I could get to know different health professions and figure out if I really did want to be a doctor, and if the kind of doctor that I think I want to be, I actually want to be, because there are so many different professions out there. So it's nice to just kind of have a little bit of an idea about each of them. My first guest is Dr. Christine Connolly. She is a professor at the UVA School of Nursing and has an MD. She's going to tell us a bit about her experience becoming a doctor. We're here with Dr. Connolly, and we're going to ask her some questions about her job. So what is your job title?
I am an assistant professor at the University of Virginia in the School of Nursing.
And what are some common misconceptions about your job?
I think the biggest question I get asked from students is, so you're only here for these, or we only have class so many hours, so what else do you do? I mean, so that's kind of like, so that they sort of, when they see me, they think that's kind of all I'm doing. And I think that is probably the biggest misconception, that there are things happening behind the scenes.
They think that you just have them and then you don't do anything else all day.
Which would be lovely. I would love that.
If only. And so what do you do on a daily basis? So this kind of will get into the little misconceptions.
Yeah, well, I do teach every day. Okay. So I teach anatomy and physiology and microbiology. So anatomy and physiology, I have lecture Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then I teach, then I have a lab on Tuesday, and I actually have three labs Tuesday. So,
dang.
Yeah, so those are long. So each lab, so I leave here at 8 o'clock at night on Tuesday, and I come in like at 9 in the morning because I have a class on Tuesday morning. So those are kind of, Tuesday's like the,
is a big day.
It's a big day.
It's a big day.
So, and then Tuesday and Thursday, I teach microbiology. I have lecture for microbiology on Tuesday and Thursday. So,
and anatomy and physiology is just the nursing students, correct?
It's just the nursing students.
But then microbiology is open to everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but I taught in the college before I taught here.
Right. You did biology.
In the biology, but the class size was so big.
Yeah.
So,
you said you didn't like that at all. Did you teach the first semester or the second semester?
I taught both semesters because I taught AMP 1 one semester and AMP 2 okay. another semester. But it just were, you know, it started where I had 200 students and then I got to 300 and some students and
wow.
it was just
a
too
lot
big.
Of students.
Yeah.
Yes. That is, wow.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite thing about your job?
The students, as we just I just said.
There were too many students,
but they are, you know, but I'd like to get to know the students, so that's why I think when there were too many, since the interacting with the students is the favorite thing for me, then having so many, I felt like I just didn't get to know them. So that is my favorite part, though.
That's good. And what's your least favorite part?
Meetings.
So do you have a lot of those?
There are all of these different meetings. So there are all these different committees and, you know, for different things. And I just don't like the meetings very much. So to talk about things and,
do they usually talk about things to change and stuff? Or
I think, yeah, so, yeah, it's sort of what should we change? How are things going? And there are all these, and there are all these different departments, and so you have department meetings, and then you have the whole faculty meeting, and then you have all these other. So it's definitely the meetings that are, when I see that I have a meeting that day, it's not a meeting.
Not excited about it.
No, so
that makes sense. What is something unique about your job?
I think that I get to. Yeah, obviously. I mean, being a professor, I get to teach, and that I enjoy. And I teach anatomy, physiology, microbiology, so there's sort of that clinical component to it. And since I am an MD, so I have the medical background, but I get to kind of teach it. What's the ideal circumstance, and that I enjoy, because it's always like, okay, here's the patient. And the patients are always perfect in my class in terms of they always have the correct signs, the correct symptoms. The outcome is always ideal. Everything is, so it's my own perfect little world. and that's unique, because in the real world, and I tell my students, in the real world, it won't be like that. Mm-hmm. So
that's definitely true.
It is true. It makes it hard. It makes it way, way harder than it is here.
In your classes, they're all perfect, but then they're going to go to the real world.
In my class, everything turns out right, and then they go out in the real world, and it's not quite like
it
that. It doesn't. It's so. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about how you have an MD. So the next question is, did you always want to do this job, or if not, what did you want to do before this?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think I went through so many different jobs when do you want me to start, like kindergarten or because really, I mean, I knew in first grade I wanted to be an orthodontist. I ended up marrying an orthodontist, so that isn't that weird?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I had gone to the orthodontist, and he just kind of was like, oh, that looks good. And then I got a toothbrush at the end, and I was like, that is the best job ever. You get to, you get to just say, whoa, that looks good, and then give a toothbrush. I don't know. I just thought that was before
good.
I actually had the braces, where they were just checking if I needed them. And I was like, this is such a great job. And my husband will agree. It is a great job. And he said, yeah, basically, that's kind of, yeah, it looks good. And he tightens a few wires, and he hands out a toothbrush. But so I wanted to be that. Then I wanted to be a veterinarian, a vet. And so that's what I planned to do when I went to university, and we had these class size, these classes of 600 students. And I remember, I think it was in biology or something, and they said, so let me get an idea. The professor was saying, let me get an idea, as it's echoing because, there's so many, it's so big, of what everybody wants to do. So it was, how many of you want to go to medical school? And so I guess in the class of 600, 595 people raised their hands that they wanted to go to medical school. And then it was, how many of you wanted to go to vet school? And, there were like three of us who wanted to do that. So that was the plan for a really long time. And then in my last year of undergraduate, I met the guy who's the orthodontist. And there was no vet school where he was, but there was I know this sounds really lame, but there was a medical school, and I didn't like the part of putting animals down, and so it sort of made me.
So it was a default.
It was by default, but I think other things went on in between, like maybe this, maybe that. I don't know. It was always back and forth. It was never that I knew exactly what I wanted to do. Some people you hear and they know exactly what they want to do from whenever. And for me, it was kind of went back and forth.
Me either. But so then you became an MD, and then you decided not to do that anymore.
Right.
What was that whole process?
Because, that was really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So medical school was fine for you. You were fine with that.
Yeah, it was really stressful. It is stressful. It is really hard. I would get really grouchy. It's the lack of sleep and everything.
Yes.
And so my personality really changed. I mean, I had been kind of this very, kind of, I don't know, friendly person. And then in medical school, I was just so tired and grouchy. And, I felt really down. And then I had a patient, and she was in her 20s. And she was getting a biopsy. And I said, oh, you're young. Everything will, everything will be fine. And her little boy was there. And I said, oh, it should be fine. And then it wasn't fine. She had, it turned out she had breast cancer. And the attending said, I was a medical student, and the attending said to me, well, you've talked to her already. You got her history and everything. I think you should be the one to go tell her that she has breast cancer. And And that was the moment that I thought, I never want to ever do that again. So...
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was even before you got out of medical school.
Yeah, I was like, I think I was in my, maybe it was the third year, the end of third year or something like that. And so then I called my mom and I said, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And she's like, no.
She's like, well, you have one more year.
Yeah, you have one more year. You've got to finish it. You finish it. So, and I'm glad I did, you know, ultimately. But yeah, it was hard.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was, yeah, all the studying was hard, but it was then the emotional stuff that really.
That really took the toll.
Yeah. So.
And so then did you just automatically decide, oh, professor, or was it kind of?
No. Then it was like, oh, now what do I do?
I have an MD, but I don't
use it. I don't know how to do it. So then I moved with who is now my husband, the orthodontist. Actually, he was a dentist at this point, and he had gotten his residency in Richmond, and his ortho residency. And so I said, I'll just go, you know, wherever you go, I'll go, and I'll figure things out there. So I was sitting in Richmond, and I had the newspaper, and I was kind of looking at, I need to maybe get a job. And I looked at, and there was they were looking for somebody to teach anatomy and physiology at the community college in Richmond. And I thought, well, I know anatomy and physiology. I don't know if I can teach it, but I do know it. And I had been a TA in undergraduate, and I had liked teaching, so I thought, well, that's something I think, and then I loved it. And then I was talking to all my friends who were doing in their first year residency, and they were all like, you know, they were so unhappy, and I was so happy, and they would say, how are you? And they would be, oh, you know, I'm so unhappy, I'm so tired, I'm so this and that, and then they'd say, how are you? And I thought, wait, can I tell them, like, I'm super happy?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so I said, oh, I'm, you know, fine. But I decided then, it was like, I am so happy, and this is what I want to do.
Wow.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, by answering, like,
the one ad in the newspaper.
A wanted ad.
You have so many qualifications, and then you just answer the wanted ad.
The wanted,
so that,
yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting how jobs can kind of flip-flop all over the place and how you can be on a path to do one thing and then not do it at all.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting because it wasn't like you were going through medical school struggling so much or going through undergrad struggling so much. Mm-hmm. It was just you didn't want to tell people that they were sick and that they might die.
Yeah. No, I mean, I graduated. I was, at the top of my class when I graduated, so it just was more that this wasn't the right thing. And maybe it was part of the reason was because it kind of fell into it. And maybe that's part of it too. Mm-hmm. Maybe not a lot of thought went into it. It was kind of like, yeah, I like him and he's here and there's think there wasn't as much thought. I mean, there was some, but not.
But it wasn't like you were striving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw people who went into it. There were people who went into it for the prestige. There were people mm-hmm. who went into it for the money. There were people who went into it for all kinds of different reasons. And they had I just kind of fell into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that wasn't enough.
Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
Yeah.
You were just kind of like, I'm going to do the thing. And then it didn't really
and
end
I don't
up
think,
being what you wanted.
So, yeah. So,
but so that, maybe you should have gone to vet school.
I know. It's okay. I'm happy.
Did you think about that at all when you, after? When
yeah,
you,
I thought about, I actually thought about going to law school when I finished medical school. I thought, well, maybe I'll
that
go.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I thought maybe I would do that and then I could, you know, be mm-hmm. a, you know, sort of a lawyer. I don't know if a malpractice lawyer
right.
or something like that. So I considered law school. I went through, because.
All the options.
All the options. I sort of, you know, and then it was, I didn't think of going back to vet school. That was.
That ship had sailed.
It really had, so, but it was sort of like, what are the other options?
Right.
So,
that's very interesting.
Yeah, but I'm so happy now.
Good.
So that's, you know, I'll tell students, you know, it does seem sometimes like, it's because I had to do an extra year because I hadn't planned to do mm-hmm. medical school, so I graduated and I needed to do a year, and so I did an extra year and studied for MCATs and did all of that stuff, and at the time it was like, oh, not another, an extra year, oh, I'm going to be... And then at the end, it really, really doesn't matter. You know, it's like in the long run, it didn't. But at the time, I totally get it.
When it was a huge deal.
When you're 21, it seems like a huge...
Get me out of here.
Yeah, exactly. But
and all of your friends are graduating, so you want to go with them and do whatever they're doing.
Exactly. So that extra... Yeah.
The extra year really
That extra year seemed... Yeah, but now it's...
But now it's nothing in hindsight, which right. is... I think your story is very interesting for pre-med students because you fell into it, one. Two, you graduated with flying colors, and meanwhile there are a bunch of students who are struggling to do this, and they're like, I want to do this, but do I want to do this? You just kind of did it and then didn't want to do it, and I think it's interesting to say you can show people that you don't have to do it if you don't want to. It's,
yeah, if you don't... Okay. I mean, there is definitely... You know, there is pressure to... I remember my dad said, you can do anything you want. My mother said, well, however, like a doctor, a lawyer, my mother had definite.
Your dad said, do anything.
He's like, do anything. My dad actually wanted me to be, he thought I'd make a good teacher, which is kind of funny, you know, throughout.
Because, you
because
are.
I am. But, you know, he thought with little kids, which mm-hmm. I actually like, I really like.
The older kids or the older kids?
The older kids. I do. I like the ones who
I think little kids could be really tiring.
I think so. And the way I teach to help students remember, some of the things are definitely inappropriate. And I could never do that if I was teaching, you know. So it has to be an over 18
yes,
group.
Yes, that makes sense. Yeah, so, I mean, you were a really good teacher, still are. I had you for anatomy and physiology. I loved that class.
Thanks.
Also, microbiology was good, but that was so many long words that I can't remember.
I know.
But A&P was great.
When I was trying to consider what career I wanted to go into, so I was still in high school, and my family doctor, who I thought was a really good doctor, he said that he had decided that if he looked at his medical school class, the top third of the class made the best researchers. So when they graduated as the top third, they were the best researchers. The middle third, he considered, were the best doctors. And he said the bottom third made the most money. So he said he was the middle third of the class. So that was comforting. So really, depending on what you want, you may be striving for that bottom third.
Tell everyone, just in medical
Come
school,
on.
All you need to do is the bottom third.
Third.
Well, there's that whole joke of like the last person or like the lowest graduating person in the
still
class
has,
is still
still
an
doctor.
MD.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so you still say
like,
doctor.
What do you call the last yeah. person that graduates in the class?
Doctor. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's getting me through, you know?
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I just need to get in and then I'm good because I'm either going to make the most money or make a good doctor. I don't think I'll be in the top
three. I almost broke up with my husband because of the MCATs. So I...
What?
Yeah, so he was my boyfriend at the time. So we weren't married yet. And I had said to him, you know, if I stay in Montreal, I really need to speak better French. Like, if I'm going to be working in the hospitals, I need to speak French better. And so he spoke French. He had been born raised in Montreal. And I said, you know, will you practice with me? And this was, like, weeks before that. And then I went to take the MCATs. And the MCATs started, like, I don't know, like 8 or 9 in the morning. They weren't over till 4 or something. I mean, they were hours and hours.
So
and I was
long.
Exhausted. And this girl was tapping her foot next to me. I thought I was going to, you know, oh, my God. And so I was so tired. And I'd had, like, a banana or something to eat. And that was it. I was just exhausted. And he came and picked me up, which was very nice, right? That was what boyfriends mm-hmm. should do. So he picked me up, and then he starts speaking French to me.
Oh, no.
And I said, please stop, you know. And he says, pourquoi est-ce que tu veux? And I'm like, no, I mean it. Just stop. I'm so tired. I can't deal with this. And he kept on with the French.
Oh, no.
And I just kind of, walked away from him and so that was almost like...
Well, it's because when you're speaking a different language, first of all, that hurts your brain enough.
Oh.
After you've taken a 7-8 hour exam,
that was
no.
not the time. It wasn't the time.
No,
it wasn't. He should have come with flowers.
Yes.
And you know,
but
that
he was trying to be good because you did tell him that you wanted him to speak French.
He was yes, and I did forgive him, but not that.
Forgive him.
Yeah, not that night.
You were angry at him for days afterward.
No, with the MCATs, I've got to say, I think that was like one of the worst.
Probably.
Days
of your life.
Yeah, that was just so stressful, that MCAT thing.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, no, yeah, there's so many things to look forward to, yeah. Studying for the MCATs took a lot, but yeah.
One of my friends took them at the beginning of this year, and she said that studying over the summer was a full-time job.
I did study over the summer.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
It was great. I had this summer job for the Smithsonian Research Institute, and...
That sounds cool.
It was really cool, and part of it, I had to sit out, and she would... Like, I just had to write down things. So I kind of studied for the MCAT while I was
doing that.
And so it worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had all those books, and I was studying them, and, you know.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told myself I was never going to take another standardized test
after
the SAT and ACT and everything, and oh, here we go.
Well, it doesn't matter. No matter what, there's MCATs, GREs, they'll get you no matter what.
Oh, yes.
You know, somehow.
No matter what you want.
No matter what you want.
You have to do
you
it.
You have to do DATs for the dental.
Right.
You know.
And nursing has something.
The NCLEX when you graduate.
Right. Mm.
I mean, these standardized tests, they just, you know.
Apparently, they don't tell them anything either, so I don't really understand why we're still using them, but.
Yeah, I don't know. And once you're in medicine, you have to keep on, you know, if whatever you're doing, you have to just keep on.
Yep.
Yeah,
and
you have to take
boards.
Yeah.
You never had to take those, did you?
I took the first part because I was still in medical school, so I took those. And there are different board exams for Canada versus the U.S.
Right.
So, yeah, but, yeah, those were. So one of my students once said, is it more fun to give exams or to take exams? I'm like, to give?
Why would you? What?
I know all the answers.
Exactly.
I'm like that, you know. So.
And you can make it as difficult or as easy
I
as
just,
you think.
Yeah, I don't want it.
Exactly.
Didn't, I did
no,
not.
Your exam.
I loved
not.
School, but not taking exams.
No,
that was like.
I don't like exams.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any closing thoughts?
I don't. I don't think so. I think you kind of do have to. I think you do have to follow your passion. I really think my dad always said, you know, that you will. If you, I mean, I think it's may sound corny, but if you find something that you love, then that's what it was meant to be. And so I really do think that. I mean, I love what I do.
That's good. They say if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
That's right. So and I love it. And I'm, you know, I've always, now again, this is just going out to the students, not to anyone else.
Right.
But I used to say that I would do it without getting paid. So, because I love it. I love it so much. And, you know, but that's the way, it, you know. So, yes, I don't make as much money as I would make if I were
practicing MD.
But
you're happy.
And I married that orthodontist, so
you,
I'm good.
You married the orthodontist, so it's totally
it's okay.
Well, so. Thank you very much.
Okay.
So as many of you may also know, I am very interested in women and children's health and prevention of certain diseases and catching things early, so which I'm sure everybody is pretty much trying to do. But February is Heart Disease Awareness Month, so I figured I would give some signs and symptoms of heart disease, and if you know anyone that has these or if you have them yourself, please go get checked out by a doctor. There's no harm in getting checked out. You could catch something early. And it would increase survival rates. So some of the signs and symptoms are discomfort, pressure, heaviness or pain in the chest, arm, or below the breastbone, discomfort radiating to the back, jaw, throat, or arm, fullness, indigestion or choking, sweating, nausea, or vomiting, or dizziness. So please, if you know anyone with these, or if you have any of these yourself, it's better to just go to the doctor and make sure everything's fine. But tune in next time on The White Coat to hear more. Thanks. We'll be right back.